Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on Quick Slants, the podcast 2.0. Is everybody okay from that first discussion? Phil and I did not throw hands, however we came close. He wanted to call me an asshole. I wanted to call him a dummy. Gerard wanted to know if we do it all the time like that. Now, stay tuned for some real good football talk. Featuring Gerard Mayo, Tom Curran, and Phil Perry.
I keep thinking that safety is turning into the most important position defensively on the field. Because if you look at the teams that win the Super Bowl, going back really to 2000, they've always had a good one, whether it be Bob Sanders and the Colts or the two guys with New Orleans or Polamalu or McCourty or Rodney, Lawyer back here. We could go on and on. Charles Woodson with the Packers. It's the most important position, I think, sometimes to the defense.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you think about it, when there were injuries, even when I got hurt, who did they give the green dot to? They gave it to McCourty, right? Or these guys can communicate.
Steve Gregory had it for a
little bit. Had it for a little bit, right? These guys can do different things. But I think even to kind of drill down a little more, right, I think the most important position, I would say linebacker still, because at the same time, a safety can't talk to a defensive lineman. Even if he's in the box, he has zero clue. No matter how smart you think these guys are, they are smart. But there isn't another position on the field where, on the defensive side of the ball, where they have this all-encompassing view of what the offense is trying to do. I can control the defense. I can control where the ball is going to go. And when I say that, if I want the ball to go wide, like if it's a run play, I'll just rip these two defensive linemen in. I'll have them stun inside. Everybody stun inside. And I know all of these gaps are taken care of, right? A safety can't come in here and say, everybody move and do that. It just doesn't happen, right? These guys, they're pass first. They're still safeties, right? They're still pass first mentality. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, you get a guy like Chung who's pretty versatile. Even when Chung was in Philly, he was terrible in Philly, right? But he comes back here, they ask him, they're like this. Philly had him, middle of the field,
sideline to sideline.
That's not Chung. Like, put Chung on a tight end, leave him alone, right? Have him on this tight end, put him in the box. He can tackle. He's one of the best tacklers that I've seen, and he can tackle pretty well, and those guys are valuable. You need those guys. You need those linebackers who can communicate. That's why I think Hightower is going to be a monster this year, because David Harris. I remember Phil texted me. He was like, "What do you think about the signing?" I'm like, I think this is huge for Hightower more than anyone else, right? Because now Hightower he can line up as a defensive end. He can line up as a defensive tackle over the center, right? And do different things, and really doesn't have to worry about saying, hey, scrape right or come down left or you got this guy. Because now David Harris, he's played in that exotic system. And even in that exotic, you saw when Rex Ryan went to Buffalo, they had a hard time because they didn't have a David Harris. I think the linebackers in Buffalo,
Preston Brown, Zach Brown, these guys are
athletes, right? They're athletic. They can get there. They can run 4 or 5 and, all this thing. But they can't line people up. So now it doesn't matter how fast you can run if you're going the wrong way. And I've always said, and coaches say it all the time, give me the guy who runs a 4.8 who's going the right way, then a guy who runs the 4.4 who has to take two steps this way to go back this way, right? So they didn't have that in Buffalo, and that's why all the guys, it's so hard. It's so hard to do. There's no accountability out there. You remember Marcel Darius came out saying it's hard. You know why it's hard for Marcel Darius? Because there was no linebacker telling him, hey, get your ass in this gap. And we would get new defensive linemen, and I remember, some defensive linemen would come in, just help me out. Boom, no problem. the problem is when you have to help out, you know, six or seven people. Yeah, for a while, right. Even when Malcolm first started, mm-hmm. it was like we called Malcolm Scrap. We used to call him Scrap, very scrappy guy, right? And we used to say, Malcolm, don't worry about anything else. You have this guy, and some people are just like that, especially mm-hmm. when they start out. Now he's like, you know, getting his footing under him and stuff. But you know, if you're able to like orchestrate people, there's value in that. And so, and now to go, and I don't want to ramble.
No, it's good.
But even to
yes.
go,
yes. Go.
To go to Hightower situation, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, how, you know, why isn't Hightower making as much money as X, Y, and Z? I'm like, it's hard to put a linebacker's
value?
Intellect.
Okay.
It's hard to put value on intellect, right? It's hard to say, hey, this guy's so smart, he's lining people up, until you don't have it, right? Until if a Hightower went somewhere else, and now you would see the defense take a tremendous, it would be a tremendous drop off as far as, you know,
we saw that
complexity of the defense.
We saw that in 2005 after Bruschi suffered his stroke, and I think Vrabel was dealing with. Actually, Vrabel had to get kicked into the middle,
and he looked so awkward in the middle. He was 6'4",
yeah, big pelican.
It's like he looked like a grand, a daddy long leg spider.
This is
like,
where we need the video. It's like, Tom and Gerard,
like something off Men in Black,
rolling around in their chairs in this room. Look like the used car guy.
Yes, so the used car inflatable.
You know, but seriously, it's hard for a Hightower to go to another team and say, you know what, I had 60 tackles last year, whatever, he had 60 tackles, but it's like, it's hard for him to go in there and say, well, I'll be the smartest guy on the defense to be able to, whatever you want to run, coach, I can line everybody up. You can't put value on that.
Well, it's hard to sell.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to sell
to the media. How much, I mean, as we go along, Phil, we're talking about continuity on Quick Slants earlier today. When you look around, just, I know the AFC East is an outlier because the Patriots are there, but between Miami, Buffalo and the Jets, general managers, head coaches, mm-hmm. and coordinators. The turnover is constant. Yep. And even when the teams who do well, I think I said on the show, Daryl Bevel, I don't know if he's gone anywhere else from Seattle. But Seattle lost its coordinator, yeah. Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look at the top teams, though.
Teams turn them over sometimes, like LeBeau left Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I mean,
but even with LeBeau leaving Pittsburgh.
But the assistant stay.
The Butler was right. Butler has been there forever. That leadership has been there. Tomlin's been there forever. Look at a Baltimore. Even though they've had a little bit of, you know, struggling a little bit of late, they're still a solid team. And they had still Ozzie, Harbaugh. Who are other good teams out there right now?
Green Bay. Ted Thompson. Yeah. McCarthy. Yep. How much of an advantage does the continuity present when it's coach, GM, quarterback, coordinators?
And you know what? I think there's one word to describe it, and it's culture, right? This is the culture. This is how we do things. And that's across sports in general, right? Popovich with San Antonio. Even Kerr right now. All those guys have...
You've been following the Red Sox at all?
Yeah, I follow the Red Sox.
All right. There's some bullshit going on right now with David Price.
Oh, yeah. Saw that.
He basically MF'd Dennis Eckersley on the charter. Waited for him to come on because he was pissed off that Eckersley can be outspoken on the broadcast.
I'm surprised he even listens to that. That's just my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, this is how many different occasions, Phil, this year where they spend
kind of
so much time
listening
to and turning the media or the fans or the city into their enemy. You're like, where is your... We should focus on what you actually really have to do.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one... You know, like I said it on the show, you know, ignoring the noise is both positive and negative. You know, when everything is going well, I'm sure, you know, David Price is like, oh, you know, eating it up, right? And all of a sudden you have a few bad games and it's like the world is crashing down. So in New England, like, as much as you can, you try to ignore all of that stuff, both positive and negative. I'm so surprised, though, and when you look at the Red Sox, who's the guy to really say, like, Big Papi's not there. Big Papi's not there to say, hey, man, just shut up and just throw the ball.
Right.
Right? You come in New England's locker room, and you look at all the knuckleheads that you guys labeled. I say you guys as media. You guys have labeled these guys as knuckleheads. Are they, you know, troublemakers?
Yep.
And then they would come to New England and fit right in.
The 09 season, though, it had no Vrabel, no Bruschi, no Seymour, no Harrison. Brady was coming back from his ACL. You were there at that time.
Like a 15-year-old captain in Gerard Mayo.
Yeah. that had to be a weird season because that is – they've missed the playoffs. I've seen them miss the playoffs. I've seen them go 9-7 under Bill. But that was by far the most dysfunctional season And it seemed to me because all the leadership got washed out at once.
But you guys brought up the leadership thing. I still remember Bill coming in like, I don't want to hear anything else about leadership. And this is where I really feel this is where Bill really made an impact, not only in my football life, but just in you know, as a man, like mm-hmm. as far as growing up. I was the only captain during preseason because he was so tired of hearing about leadership, right? People were like, oh, we need some leadership, blah, blah. And I was so nervous. It was my second year in the league. Here's a funny story. And I would say, and Bill would say, hey, if we win the toss, we want to kick off and kick this way, right? So when you're the only one out there, you better remember what he wants, right? So
nobody
I'm sitting
to
there,
check your work.
I'm listening to the Star Spangled Banner, right? Exactly. No one there to correct you. So I would go to Bill and say, hey, Bill, what do you want to do again? And he would tell me. And then I'd be like, all right, but I have a little bit of OCD. Now, you know, 2 seconds passed. Bill, you sure you want to go this way? Boom, boom. So when, you know, because during the preseason, the coaches would pick the captains, and during the season, the players would pick the captains. But that experience really helped me as far as my development just as a leader in general. And but to be able, you know, to lead, right? Even look at a guy like Tom, right? He's not a rah-rah guy. He'll do like a little speech real quick or whatever. But he leads through just working hard. He outworks a lot. And when people see that, especially older guys who they've done, you know, X, Y, and Z a certain way and made Pro Bowls and all that, and then they come here and they wonder why they can't. I still remember when they brought in Torrey Holt, Adrian Wilson, they brought
were
in
here for all Reggie, these, Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne,
while,
Joe
yeah.
Adai, all of these guys. Yeah. But I'm saying all of these guys
Joseph
had
Adai, right?
they had success before they came here. It's just the culture here is just different, right? Tom would be one of the first people in the locker room. This guy's a perennial Pro Bowler. He's just, you know, he doesn't need to be there for one of the first people and one of the last to leave, right? And that sounds so cliche, but he was that guy. I used to try to race to the stadium to try to beat a guy like Tom, you know, and it kind of, you know, that competition.
How many guys were doing that, though? Because we asked Bill, and what's Bill say all the time?
Nobody works harder than Gerard. Nobody works harder than Danny. Nobody works harder than Julian. Nobody. He won't say it in succession like that.
Yeah.
But he'll be asked about a given player. I'll say, man, nobody works harder than Gerard. You know, it'll be somebody else. It's like, okay, how can everybody?
Because
how can
it's
nobody
the culture.
Work harder than that guy. But
no.
There's
it's
like
the
seven
culture.
Guys like that.
And you would see, and I would see it. I remember think about this. When Julian came, right? When he first was drafted here, he played defense a couple of games, right? And I still remember him playing star, the little slot corner. Yeah. And Gerard, what do I have right here? He's one of those guys. What do I got to do right here? I'm like, you got this guy. You got curl, flat, drop, right? But that's the attitude, the mentality. It's like whatever it takes for the team to be successful. And now, you know, even with all the success that Julian's had, he would be in there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning catching playing cards. And so here's a shout out to the staff, right? They know guys are getting there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. The staff, they're breaking down film, and then they're in there 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
So
they could throw cards. But I'm telling you, it's a culture thing, right? I remember going on visits. I went on like 12 visits, pre-draft visits. I remember going out to different teams, and I went to Washington. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Redskins. You go in the parking lot, you see Lamborghinis, you see Bentley coupes, all these high-end cars, right? And it's more about the lifestyle. You can mm-hmm. just tell, right? Then I went to a couple other teams. Same thing, right? I came to New England. There were family vans, pickup trucks. First person I see is like Logan Mankins, like all country. It's like these guys really just like to play football. They don't like the perks. They don't like what football has to bring, like getting in the front of the lines at the clubs. No, they like to win games. I knew it was different here on my visit.
Was it weird when Bill selected you to be the captain? Because some guys would feel awkward and oh, man, I'm 23 years old. I just got out of college. I hope they don't think that I'm, you know, coach's pet. Was it?
Yeah. It wasn't weird for me. I looked at it as an opportunity to grow, right? And I search for an opportunity to be uncomfortable, if that makes any sense, mm-hmm. right? And that's a super uncomfortable situation when you have all of these Pro Bowlers and older guys around you. Even as a rookie, they would send me in there to Bill's office, or I still remember going into Bill's office asking to get out of pads. That's when we had two-a-days. And they would be like, hey, Gerard, go in there. And they would say, hey, rookie, go in there and ask Bill if we can get out of pads. And Bill would be in there typing on his computer, looking at film, and he types like this, like two fingers. I'm like, Bill, it's 2000. This was 2008. I'm like, type with all your fingers, right? He's doing the old chopstick thing. And he'd be like, you know, what do you want? You know, I'm just a rookie. You know, what do you want? Hey, players are tired. Can we get a break? And Bill would be like, you know, most of the time, he'd be like, get out of here. Well, whatever. We're in pads. We're in full pads, right? But every once in a while, I would come back into the locker room and say, hey, you know what, guys? Bill said we can go in shells today, but it better be a good practice. And it was like a celebration. It was like a celebration because we were a family and the culture and the camaraderie that was built. And you see it now when Bill's doing those punts. He's like, hey, because the thing about it, he's not patting you on your back for doing things you're supposed to do. And players that come from, you know, from the outside, they always have a hard time with that. Why didn't Bill tell me good job? And I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You have to go above and beyond to get an attaboy. We call them attaboys. You have to go above and beyond. But every once in a while, when Bill would throw you those bones, it would bring the team together like nothing else, right? And that's where a lot of these teams get in trouble, where these players, coaches, right? They're always giving bones. If you're always giving me a bone, it's kind of like, all right, why do I need to work any harder, right?
This training camp, a time where those bones are even fewer and farther
for
between.
Sure. And Bill's favorite, famous saying is like, you see that light at the end of the tunnel? That's a train coming straight for your face. It's like, all right, thanks, coach. Thanks. It is, though. It is. But training camp, especially then when we had two-a-days, right? We would take a nap there, get up, and do it all over again. Now it's just like a lot of meetings and things like that.
Do you think that'll play an impact, just kind of going all over the place? Do you think that'll play an impact in guys exhibiting CTE and things like that health-wise? I mean, the amount of beating that you guys took.
Yeah.
Even 08, 02.
So are you saying now that the rates will go down? That
it's going to be like
fewer, fewer hits, I
now
guess.
It's going to be 99% of the guys who
98%.
Actually. 99% of the guys who act weird are going to actually have it. But now the number of guys overall, if they actually gave their brains, would be lower.
You know what? I don't know. It's going to be
Are you already at 30 years old, a guy who goes, yeah, in my day.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I still understand the game. I still enjoy the game. I still, I only did two-a-days, 2 years probably?
Probably.
It happened in 2011. I came in 2008, 3 years.
Three.
And I enjoyed, I just, if you enjoy playing, this is the thing.
Bill, it was friggin' hard to
this
cover.
Is the thing, though. Everyone was like this. Yeah, it's hard to play for Bill. And those are the people who really don't enjoy the game of football. If you genuinely enjoy the game of football, like the X's and O's, putting in the hard work, you and Bill will get along perfectly. Now, if you're just one of those guys who's clocking in at 8, you're coming in 5 minutes before a squad, you're the first one out the door, you don't really want to get an edge on people, I mean, you're going to be out of there in no time.
Do you know he does that during press conferences, too? He knows I always show up late.
He is pretty good, I think, about keeping track of that sort of stuff. You wouldn't think so. But I don't think he cares, really. Do you?
No.
No.
Who, Bill?
No. Yeah, he doesn't care if Tom shows up late to the press conference.
No. Yeah, but he notices.
But he knows you.
But he notices.
He notices when you don't have your makeup on.
He notices. Notice when I had the golf spikes on. Gave him the business about that. Phil, but Phil's always front and center.
I bet. He looks like one of those guys. Front and center. I got the answer.
Glasses on.
Glasses and
pencil
George,
out.
Charmin. Georgetown.
Extra pencils.
You and
pocket
Reese.
Protector.
You
How
and
long
Reese.
Is Bill going to coach? You know. That's your guy. You've known him longer than I have.
2019. He's done.
2019.
Right. Did he text you that?
Let me see. Nice round number. No, he's never texted. Well,
that's a round number.
20 years. It'll be 20 years here in New England.
Do you think he would, if he won one more, I know it's like what else, why would it matter at this point? But would you ever see him leaving to leave on top? Or do you just see him coaching until he's just tired of it?
I think he coaches until he's tired, until he's done, right? Yeah. I think he's still enjoying it. He's still putting in the time, still putting, he enjoys it.
That's the thing. At training camp, we and see him, and he kind of bounces around. He's got the shorts on. He's, he's coaching
because
all the different
groups.
Now, he's got energy.
Now he has two coordinators who are proven, right? There was a time where we didn't have a defensive coordinator. Mm. Before Matty P, and then he was
after
like,
P, so that would have been
after
20.
P, and he was in every meeting. It was like the principal was in there every day. Everyone's sitting in there like, oh gosh, is Bill here today? Matty, you get the meeting yourself, man. And, it's been great.
It's
to see.
Amazing to see a guy that intense at the age of, what is he, 64, Phil?
I think he's 64, 65.
It's
year,
great to see a guy, like I've just seen change. Like Matty P going from, that linebacker room when I first was drafted was, I think, Matty P's first year as a linebacker coach.
Mm-hmm.
And Junior Seau's in there, Adelis Thomas, Mike Vrabel, Teddy Bruschi, Roosevelt Colvin, all these older guys. And they would look at Matty like, I'm older than you. It's crazy, right? To see that, and now to see Matty P like really taking charge of a defense, having the top scoring defense, will be a head coach one day. I mean, it's been great for me to see. And the tree, you know, the apples that have fallen from Bill's tree.
Like, you check out Bob Quinn and John Robinson, guys who are running franchises.
Jason Light.
Yep. It's crazy.
Yeah. I could probably, you know, Cleveland would probably hire me today.
I was going to say,
be good with the numbers. He's good with the numbers.
You be GM? You be GM someday?
He's good with the numbers.
You're good with numbers?
Moneyball. Oh, I thought you were talking about that guy from Moneyball.
No, but you're good with numbers. Yeah, they do. Deep Podesta guy.
Moneyball. Let's talk about Moneyball.
Go ahead. Because here's a point.
There are some people on that Moneyball team that were solid players. That's all I'm saying. Pitchers, Hudson, Miguel Tejada, Chavez was on that team.
You're talking about the actual Oakland
A's.
Do you think that approach could work in football?
It didn't work in baseball. Did they win a championship?
They got better.
You know what?
Yeah, they got better with less money, but they didn't win a championship.
I think that some of the money ball and the analytics and the notion that is being pushed forward by franchises, that you can break it out and play to different things, I think they're missing the point a little bit with the analytics of football. I think the analytics of football are advanced shit that you can get to way down the line, but you have to have the bread and butter fundamentals, the culture,
definitely,
the coaching, the schemes, and then worry about.
That's how the Patriots approach it, right? They're not making decisions based solely on analytics. They're like, all right, they're going to look at this guy. I'm going to eye this guy. They still look at film.
You got to be able to move.
You can tell how big a guy is. Right. You can tell how big like a defensive lineman is by, you know, you just put your fingers up to the screen.
It.
No, I'm serious. You just put your fingers up and you can see how wide his butt is, right?
Yeah.
And you can say, all right, this guy's probably about three. Like, just hand it like that by just putting your hand up there. But then you use
Tell me some other physical stuff that's weird, because I've always heard the skinny ankles, high calves means probably a good leaper.
Yeah, look at my skinny ankles. Look at these. And look at those fat ankles.
I'm a total outlier. I have the skinniest ankles you've ever seen.
Fat ankles. No, that's a fact.
Right. No. But there are things like that, though. I'm saying that to say, Bill's not saying, all right, use this program, use this algorithm, show me the list from the algorithm, and then we'll pick these guys. No, they're looking at players, and then they're stacking that up against the data.
Yep.
And now so if what I see matches what the data is showing me, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Like if you have a guy, say Julian runs the shuttle, short shuttle in 3.8, 3.9, but he happens to be 4'5", you're not going to be able to keep him. No matter how fast he is, he still doesn't fit. But once you fit into those, if you check enough boxes and this one's blank, maybe some of the other boxes you checked can make up for that. Is what I'm saying, which isn't necessarily analytics.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Which isn't analytics.
Well, look at Aaron Judge though. They were saying how this guy's bat speed was so slow and all, and now it's like, oh, everybody, passed on this guy.
I would say that Belichick was doing some Moneyball things right when he took over the franchise, because he found a market inefficiency in going from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 because nobody was playing 3-4 around the league. And there were players like Vrabel who weren't really being used, who would have been he saw him as a great outside linebacker in a 3-4, but he was kind of a tweener in a 4-3 in Pittsburgh. He said, let's bring that guy over. Let's play a 3-4 because there's all these players that I can get on the cheap, so to speak, to play this different scheme, and that'll make us a better team compared to the rest of the league. I think that was almost like a money ball, quote unquote, kind of principle, wasn't it?
And I don't want to be on the a contrarian on the show, but
that's good. No,
contrarian the show. It's our show.
My thing is, I think coaches have been doing that for a long time. Yeah. Where I would say Bill was doing the Moneyball thing, in which I still can't believe. This is why you have a Jason Light, Jason Robinson, all these guys, as GMs. It's because for the longest time, and still to this day, you have teams who are trading away 4 and 5 picks to move up a few slots, right? And Bill's like, perfect. You want this fifth pick, give me 5 picks. And he is drafting based on, he's accumulating all of these draft picks where this guy is giving away all of his draft picks to get this one guy betting on a single guy. That's how you find a Malcolm Butler in later rounds. That's how you find a Tom Brady in later rounds. That's how you find all of these solid guys in later rounds, by just throwing a bunch of crap at the wall and hopefully in one day it's going to stick.
Well, because the draft's such a gamble.
It is. No matter where. Remember Vernon Golston was this can't-miss prospect the year I came out, right? Vernon Golston. Everybody has to get Vernon Golston.
Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, from Ohio State. And then this guy fizzles out in like 2 years. Like, how many first?
Think about
Ryan Leaf. How many of these guys who are can't miss prospects?
Who was the other Jets guy? that they had pass rusher. I mean, there was Miami Deion. Was it Deion Jordan?
Oh, Deion Jordan. Miami. Yeah, same guy.
Third overall.
Yeah.
And he's,
yeah.
Dante Fowler with Jacksonville. I know he's had some injuries, but right. Christ.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
unbelievable.
But it's a crapshoot. So why not give me 10 bullets to shoot at the wall or 10 balls to throw at the pins instead of this one big ball and hopefully right. I can get it there. Right.
And just, occasionally.
Then you get a Carson Wentz or you know.
Yes.
And
Julio Jones was it. You yeah. know, you stack a bunch of picks together to get Julio Jones.
Yeah,
that works
a Julio
out.
Jones, it works out. But how many times do people do this? And then you clear out the entire organization. GM fired. Head coach fired. All these guys fired. And you talked about continuity earlier. You don't get that continuity when you have GMs who are banking on one guy. And now you're seeing John Robinson out at the Titans kind of making these same
moves. That's an interesting team.
It is, but he's making these moves where he's just accumulating, right? Mm-hmm. Jason Light out in Tampa. They're just accumulating picks, right? And now they have a pretty solid team. We'll both. See what happens. Yeah, both of them. And Detroit's going to be pretty solid here in about 2 or 3 years. Watch.
That offense is coming along pretty well.
Yeah,
this year's draft was interesting to watch how the Patriots played at Belichick and Kasira because they didn't have a pick until number 72, I think. And when 72 was getting close, they traded down.
Yep.
It was like they watched 70-some-odd picks come off the board, but they still traded down. And personally, I think it was because they looked at the board and they said, well, listen, we would like to get a defensive end here. There's like a half a dozen guys here that we like.
Yep.
If we trade from 72 to – it wasn't all that far down that they traded, but it was like – I think it was 5 or 6 picks, something like that. We can still get one of – not right. all of these guys are going to come off next 6 picks. So let's drop down, pick up a little bit more ammo for later, and get whoever's left that
and
we like
look
the best.
At the
and they end up with Derek
roster.
Rivers, who some teams thought of as like a second-round pick.
You look at that existing roster as well, right? You essentially get first-round picks in Brandon Cooks. Mm-hmm. You get, we'll call him a second-round pick in Dwayne Allen. You get, you know, a Gilmore, essentially another first-round pick, right? So the team got a lot better this offseason without having a pick in the first 3 rounds.
And that's the other interesting thing is they figured out when you got guys coming up towards the end of their rookie contracts, bring them in, lease them for a year. If they're really good, you might be able to re-up for 2 or 3 years, but you haven't had to pay the first 3 years on them.
Yep.
Like Cooks is what, 1-point-something million, Phil? Or am I wrong completely?
I think he's more than that. No, you actually might not be too far off. I know next year is his option year
so
as a first rounder, and it's going up to like 8, yeah, I think, next year.
I would take a Brandon Cooks
still do that,
all day
right.
for $8 million.
Right,
I just would.
Two years, $9
million.
$9 million. System.
You can't beat that. You can't beat that. And you're going for the gusto, right? And then look at these players that you get rid of. You get rid of a guy like Jabal Sheard, who was a situational guy. It's a win-win for
I
the
totally
player.
I totally forgot that Jabal Sheard left.
Yeah,
for you,
it's a win-win for the player. He goes and gets long. Paid, right? He gets paid more than he's worth, right? No shot towards Jabal, yeah. But this you get paid. And then the Patriots, you know, they get money, whatever. Same thing, Kyle Arrington, he goes and gets paid,
yep.
right? All these players, and you see it time and time again, where it's like, all right, you leave, it's a win for you, you're making more money, and the Patriots kind of get some salary cap relief.
And the other, going back to your point on just the picks and the accumulation of them, even when they've traded picks for guys like Allen, like Ely,
Ely's going to be a beast.
I'm trying to think. James O'Shaughnessy, whoever, nobody, you know, third tight end or whatever, but when they've made these kinds of deals, and they've done a handful of them in the last couple of years, they still get a pick back.
Yep.
So it's not just the fourth round pick for so-and-so or the fifth round pick for so-and-so. It's, okay, here's the fourth round pick, but you got to give us back a fifth
yep.
as well as part of the deal. So they still have the same number of picks. They still have that cachet of picks, but they get a player to come along with it.
This pass defense this year has the potential to be pretty outstanding.
It's
with the addition of a guy like it's all about the marriage, right? The marriage of the pass rush and the coverage. Now all of a sudden you have two guys on the outside and a middle of the field safety who can cover almost the entire field and a Devin McCourty. And now you have an Ely inside, a Hightower that's going to put his hand in the dirt, guaranteed. A Malcolm inside, right? A Rob Ninkovich, however he's going to play into the whole. It's just exciting.
So when I talk about on the show, we were talking about where are they thin, and I said defensive end. Hightower can almost probably thrown into that mix. You can also put. You have been.
You could put Hightower at defensive end. You could even move a guy like Ely to defensive end. You put a guy like Hightower could play. You know, there are packages where you put a Hightower or a bigger linebacker at a defensive tackle or right over the center. Remember, Junior used to do that all the time, and you just run these different games. But these are quicker guys that can really get after the quarterback. Pretty excited to see what's going down, what Matty P is going to draw.
They have a lot of volume, I think, in terms of numbers. When you're talking about guys who can rush the passer, Ely, Hightower, Flowers, Ninkovich. They got the rookies, Wise and
Gino Grissom.
Gino Grissom.
Still
on the roster.
Flowers is a guy who can also play defensive tackle. He's a strong guy. He plays exceptional defensive tackle in there.
Why hasn't Gino Grissom worked out yet?
I think
it seems like he has.
He has, but he's also making plays on special teams, right? But with Flowers kind of taking off, it kind of put some.
One or the other had to, yeah.
Yeah, someone had to make it out of those two, right? And I think Flowers kind of won that battle.
Yeah, there's something there, though. You're right. Because he's like a freaky athlete, and he's got pretty good size.
But
he looks like going back to that, okay, you can't just slot in like, okay, we want a guy who's this big and this fast and this, has all these numbers and we're just going to take him. He kind of is that numbers kind of guy. But then when he's out there, there's something, it's just not allowing him to win, to be successful.
And every once in a while, you'll see that for a while and then something will click when the coach will, he'll take some off of his plate. And then they'll flourish, right? So sometimes you're out there and you're thinking. If a player's out there thinking, besides that one player like a Hightower who has all these thoughts going through his head, or when I was out there, you have all these thoughts going through your head. Anytime you just tell a guy, go out there and make a play, they look a lot better, a lot more, the fluidity is there and things like that. Think about a guy like Von Miller, right? Mm-hmm. Think about a guy like Lawrence Taylor.
Simple.
Yeah, just rush off the edge. And the thing about it, Lawrence Taylor was so good at pass rushing. Like, those times, some of those sacks that you saw come out, he wasn't even supposed to rush. So they just turned it into a play.
Yeah.
Like, he was supposed to drop in pass coverage. But it's like, all right, you're going to drop Lawrence Taylor in pass coverage? No. So now all of a sudden you have Base Fox 2 or Fire 2 or whatever. You just make up plays.
How often did Bill talk to you about Taylor?
A lot. I wasn't a pass rusher, but I just enjoyed
the
stories and and Pep. Pep was my coach as well. So and I enjoy the guy. I enjoy the history of the game. But that game is gone out of the rearview mirror. Right. That
explain
game
why? Because now it's like basketball.
It's kind of, it's like spread, and you have to be able to be versatile. You have to be able to drop in coverage, especially with the zone blitzes and things like that. Not saying they weren't doing zone blitzes back then. But, teams are coming out on four wide receiver sets, and you can't just, if in today's game, I would say Lawrence Taylor would be a defensive end, right? You just go, he'll be like a Von Miller. You don't see Von Miller dropping often. Every once in a while, you will, but it's a big changeup, right?
Like there was that guy, LeVon Kirkland. Do you remember him?
I do remember. Steelers. He was huge. Yeah. But he was a linebacker
that
would rush up the middle and
that
turn into
blitz
a defense.
Zone,
exactly.
Holy
the
crap,
old Dick LeBeau.
Yeah.
But you know what? That zone blitz, that old Dick LeBeau system. I mean,
Kevin Green.
Kevin Green was a beast.
Who was the other guy? Gildon.
But that system, I mean, there are a lot of holes. And, because the thing about it, the entire defense really doesn't understand. They don't understand where the holes are in the defense. If you don't understand where the holes are in the defense, then the zone blitz system doesn't work, right? If all of a sudden you're going to send two off this edge, you have to know if you're this out inside linebacker, you have to push all the way over to this receiver and match your receiver. What they're doing, they're just going to a spot on the ground, right? on the grass, right? They're like, all right, this is zone blitz, two yards off the top of the numbers, which in reality, two yards off the top of the numbers may not be where you need to be. You need to be inside of the second receiver or something like that. So that's why you have a Tom Brady who's like, all right, you're going to zone blitz me. I'm going to motion the back out. Now there's five wide receivers out here, and you're going to bring two, and you're going to have a defensive tackle, Casey Hampton, dropping out, trying to cover Julian Edelman on a shake route. It just doesn't work.
Once you figure it out to a quarterback, it must just be it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
And the Steelers have been pretty open this offseason about how they're going to play less zone because the Patriots would just carve it up. So now they're going to try to – is that smart? Should they try to play more man because the Patriots are just going to pick you apart if you play zone?
I would argue the fact – I think there's a place for it all, right?
Yeah.
So – and we're a game plan team. Every week we had a new playbook.
Yeah.
Some of these teams, like Seattle, they would run the same defense. Even Atlanta – the same exact defense. They were running cover three, cover six, something right. something of that nature. And
same
you
coach,
knew,
though, same,
yeah, you know, knew the running backs were going to get a right. lot of catches, and you knew Julian was going to get either Julian or the running backs were going to get a lot of catches, yep. right? A lot.
Isn't that funny? How it worked is. Because the Super Bowl in 14, Shane Vereen had that huge game.
Yep.
Oh, I said
years
that.
Later,
I think
James White
talked about that on the yes. show.
James White comes in and it's same kind of game plan because same defense, and you beat it the same way.
Either you get really good at one or two plays, but you had to be damn good at these one or two plays, right? Or you try to change it up a lot and spin the wheel.
It
right?
was different really funny. Winners. I was watching some of that Seattle Super Bowl the other day, and Belichick kneeled down in front of Brady. We need to wrap it up here in a minute, but knelt down in front of Brady when they're trying to come back, and he goes, "Hey, listen, if you have to take a sack, take a sack. We just can't turn it over."
Yep.
But the chances of them playing three plays in a row without f***ing up.
Oh, yeah. I know. Exactly. Seriously.
And you look at Seattle, and you're like, they're such a good defense, but the breakdowns would
exactly.
come.
But they had such a good pass rush, though. They could get there with four guys. That's why the Giants, when they were winning Super Bowls, they were able to get there with four, Justin Tubb, Michael Strahan. Then they had JPP and these guys. They were able to get there with four guys. So now all of a sudden, you know, you get out there with Atlanta, right? Those guys are gas. What do they have? They had Beasley. Who else they had?
Beasley.
Dwight Freeney was playing a lot off
Freeney.
The edge.
But those guys,
yeah.
but once the
who
pass
was the
rush,
kid who had all the sacks? Grady?
Beasley. No,
Beasley.
Beasley. Oh, and yes, it was.
I think Grady Jackson, but that can't be him.
No, Grady Jarrett. Yeah.
But the thing about, you know, as soon as those guys started getting tired and the pass rush wasn't there and Tom had time to pat the ball a couple of times, you want cover three. You can't cover four verticals. You can't cover four verticals with cover
times.
Three. Yeah, with cover three, you just can't. Because what happens is that you have three deep, you have four receivers. Well, yeah, so if you don't kind of compress the outside guys and, you know, kind of help the safety out a little bit, you have a hard time. And then you have this little running back underneath. It's like, all right, you guys are dropping off 12 yards. Drop it off. There's your Madden tip of the day. I'm out of here.
So we
thanks
covered Super Bowl
concussions.
2014, Super Bowl 2016, concussions, Geno Grissom. Is there anything we didn't hit on? Should Gerard just take the rest of the season off?
Take it off.
No,
man.
We're going to do an hour and 15 minutes every week.
Yeah, right. I love it.
This is because I'm gone the next couple of weeks.
Are you really gone next week, too?
I am.
No, next week and the week after?
Yeah.
All right.
I have a job, man.
That's good. I'm tired.
Working.
I need a nap before Boston Sports tonight.
That was fun, though.
Oh, man. That was fun, though.
We were all over the map, but that was fun.
Real good. Sorry, guys. We didn't give any training camp preview. Nothing's happening. They're going 19-0.
Goodbye.
So, Phil, how do you listen to the podcast?
Well, Adam, wouldn't you know it, but I have subscribed to Quick Slants, the podcast, on my podcasting app right here on my iPhone.
Whoa. So that means it downloads directly to your phone every time we put out a new episode.
Oh, yes, sir. Bob, it does.
Huh, cool.